Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Today, my guest is Dr. Tabitha Stewart, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to thank all of you, who tune in all the time to listen to this show. I know that time is our most precious asset, and I am so honored that there are people all over the globe listening to this show. Now, I've said this before, but I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You know, you come from that heart-centered place and you want to make a difference in the world. You're here to serve. So perhaps this is you, and that's why you've decided to join us here in the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another fantastic show today. Now, I also always want to thank you for spending your valuable time here with us, because I want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel that your time was well spent. Now, you can find this show on a number of directories out online, and the best way to access them all is just to go to my website at bonniegressel.com, and there are links to all the places where this show appears, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spreaker, the list goes on. I love being able to reach so many people with this podcast. So let me introduce our guest for today, and then we're going to bring Dr. Stewart on the show. Dr. Tabitha Stewart is a respected health psychologist in Central California, and she has spent her career helping others. She first worked for over 15 years as a social worker, and then the last 10 years as a licensed psychologist. Dr. Stewart has successfully run a for-profit practice, has taught clinical psychology courses at both the undergraduate and graduate levels, and has consulted with many who are on the path to change. After developing her own chronic illness, she learned how to effectively manage it. And after that, she set out on a path to help other entrepreneurial women who have many competing demands on their time, and many of them end up with chronic illnesses as well. She helps them gain clarity about their own destiny, overcome their fears, embrace their internal strengths, and grow while using creativity to break through those tough problems and be successful. Join me now in welcoming Tabitha Stewart to the show.
Well, welcome, Tabitha. Welcome to the Holistic Entrepreneur. I am so excited to have you here today. You know, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to spend with us here at our community and to share your insights and your wisdom. You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, but there's always more to the story. So would you share a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to who you've become today and what you do?
Sure, Bonnie. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to be here. Basically, I left home at 17, and I worked a lot of kind of hard labor jobs, waitressing, housekeeping, those types of things. But I always sort of envisioned more for myself. So at 20, I found myself in the social service field and began working sort of in a group home. And started to take college seriously at that point. Went on to get my bachelor's in social work and worked full-time throughout that program and also graduate school, doing all sorts of work, working in the ER, doing evaluations for people who need to be hospitalized, working on the psychiatric units, working with domestic violence. And so I moved forward in my life, got my doctorate degree, really sort of was focused on helping other people. All of my attention was there. I wanted to learn as much as I could, so I enrolled in the doctoral program in clinical and health psychology and kept growing my skills. And then about the time I graduated with my doctorate degree, I had gotten married and I had a brand new baby, and I set up a new practice. I got licensed right away because I was super motivated, built a great practice. In the process of trying to grow a family, I had 8 miscarriages and dealt with some infertility, and really began to help women who were dealing with postpartum depression and fertility in my practice. A lot of times we tend to gravitate, obviously, to what's going on in our own life. It really
can pull us. Great.
And so that was wonderful. And about probably after my last baby was born, I had a complicated C-section, and the doctors found out that they didn't sterilize any of my instruments on my C-section. And so, yeah, that was a joy. And so we were both sort of in the hospital for a long time and pumped with a bunch of antibiotics. And, you know, here I was having my firsthand experience with, you know, kind of a different kind of health crisis. Came out of there and then within a year developed an autoimmune disorder, rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. And that really took me out. I mean, affected my sense of self-worth. I was in a lot of pain. I was fatigued. I was mad that I was ill. And so was off work for 2 years due to disability and trying to wrap my mind around what all this meant. You know, I felt like, man, the universe, you know, here I am. God gave me all these great gifts. I'm going to school. I'm helping people. What else do you want from me? And really, I think during that time, I was trying to figure out how to cooperate with my body. You know, my I think my focus had always been on get your education, do more, be perfect, help everybody. But in the process, I don't think I was doing such a good job at taking care of my own self, especially carrying all that trauma from listening to other people and realized that I just couldn't be a floating head anymore. I really had to learn how to find balance with both my parenting and my career and my ambitions, and was doubtful that I could manage all of that effectively, changing my food, you know, getting alternative care. And it took me probably about 2 years to sort of work through that and get back up on my feet. But as I was doing that, I began to realize that I had to get into basically congruence with this new life. I had to learn how to balance my physical and my emotional self and still be able to give to other people. And that was quite a journey for me, which then led to me feeling like I wanted to get more congruent with my values, which was I really wanted to help entrepreneurial women who were struggling with their own balance. I mean, women kind of are set up in our society to do everything. I remember going to see my doctor and saying to him, you know, I don't know how to find this balance thing. I'm a perfectionist. And what he said to me was, good. I'm glad you're a perfectionist. And I kind of looked at him startled because that wasn't really what I expected to come from my doctor. Here he was saying to me, well, keep pushing yourself to the limit. And I knew that that wasn't right. It wasn't you know, well matched with who I was.
You know, there's a quote that I use often because I really like it. I don't even know who said it, but it kind of goes like this. Perfectionism is a character defect.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that, you know, we give it so much credence, and really we're not supposed to be perfect. We're human.
Right.
But so many people strive for that. Yeah. So, yeah, it surprises me, too, that he said, oh, yeah, go ahead, keep being perfect.
I know. But, you know, I think that's sort of the medical model and that mentality.
Sure. Yep.
You know, we tend to neglect the emotional self. So, you know, with all of that, I think, you know, it became very clear that I really wanted to help other women who were going through the same process as me. You know, maybe they have some health issues, maybe they don't. But certainly, you know, setting women up to be burnt out and to hate themselves and to feel like they have to do everything, I don't know is the right thing to do, you know. And so in my practice, you know, part of my goal is helping women to sort of break out of some of those traditional thought models, use some creativity to find balance in their life and free themselves up so that they can do more of what fills their cup rather than takes away from it. Because it's really hard to coach other people or build your business when you're empty constantly.
Right.
You know.
You know, that whole issue of self-care, let's talk about that a little bit, because there's balance in self-care, and you're right. I think it's difficult for many new entrepreneurs because there's so much to do, right? You got to do everything. And maybe it's even worse for women, I guess. I hate to be stereotypical, but I think women might have a harder time with this because they want to be perfect and they're used to doing it all. You know, the kids and the making the meals and the whatever, all people associate all those things with women very often. How did you find and how do you help your clients with that balance and caring for themselves? I mean, if we would take care of ourselves as well as we take care of other people, oh my God, there'd be no problem, right?
Right, exactly. You know, I started doing a lot of work around mindfulness and self-compassion. I know a lot of people associate this with spirituality, but actually I found that if you can teach people how to be self-compassionate and to notice when they're hurting and to sort of care for that part of themselves, then they can reduce their critical thoughts and move into a problem-solving place rather than a record of continuing negativity or, you know, self-criticism that can keep you kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is one way that I think can help people break free. I also help them do a values inventory. You know, is their life congruent with what they value? Are they doing things that, you know, are not consistent with that, and why, you know? And so mm-hmm. I think identifying those patterns and helping them break down the things that are most important can change the whole direction of somebody's life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're not being your authentic self, things aren't working.
Right.
You know, you can't be somebody else. I always tell people, okay, for me, what you see is what you get. It's pretty much, I don't know how to be anywhere, any way other than this. But a lot of people, I think, struggle with that. And some of it is probably societal in our culture, in that there are certain expectations. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. How do you help people to stop listening to what everybody else says or thinks?
Well, you know, I think that, again, if you sort of practice mindfulness, which is the slowing down of your thought process and the focusing on the here and now and removing judgment from any of that. So, you know, mm-hmm. looking at the world through glasses of how can I understand what's happening, it makes it easier to kind of, I'm sorry, can you give me a redirect here, Bonnie? You asked me a specific question.
You know, how do you get people to stop? You know, there's so many people that have, you know, sort of that Stephen Covey thing, the internal versus the external locus of control, right? Mm-hmm. They've got the external locus of control, which is they're so affected by what everybody else says or thinks or their situation, rather than tuning into themselves, which is kind of where you're going, I think, with the mindfulness piece.
Yeah.
So because we all have that inner critic and are so judgmental of ourselves. So tell us a little bit about how you approach that with, say, a new client who comes to you that's got sort of that as an issue that you got to get through first before you can really move forward.
Well, one, I help them sort of step outside of themselves so that they can be more objective and, again, not get into judgment around the other person or around themselves. You know, I think if you approach things from empathy, it's a lot mm-hmm. easier. And if, you know, one of the things, a gift that I'm going to offer to your listeners is a deep listening, you know, really listening to other people. And that really can help you clarify whether this is something that is yours or isn't yours. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, we take on other people's stuff that has nothing to do with us. You know, they're angry about the bank, but somehow they took it out on us, and then we take it personal and carry it around with us. And so I think being able to slow your thoughts down, being able to be non-judgmental, and to really reflect and listen to what somebody else is saying can help you move out of the place of responsibility when it's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a task, and, you know, I'm not saying that this stuff comes easily. It certainly takes time and work and effort, but can really free you up if you get caught in that trap a lot.
Yeah. You know, I've been practicing mindfulness meditation for years. And if I teach it or something, I often say they call it a practice because it is. It doesn't happen overnight.
Exactly. You know, and one of the things I always say to clients or, you know, customers is that, you know, we're like onions. You know, we have mm-hmm. to peel back the layers. There's a lot of crying that happens in that process. But, you know, when you cook it all up, it's tasty and fragrant and helpful, you know, and we're supposed mm-hmm. to unlayer like that. And so it is a time-consuming thing, but it's good.
Yeah. So, you know, what would you say, Tabitha, that makes what you do as a coach unique? You know, like, why would someone work with you rather than somebody else who does the same type of coaching or whatever? What is it that you bring? Because I can see some things, but I want you to talk about it. Just, what do you bring that people can't get from other places?
Well, I think the one thing is I'm trained as a psychotherapist initially, and so I'm always looking for, one, what somebody's strengths are, you know, what their limiting beliefs are, and I know how to work with some of those deeper issues that maybe other coaches may not have experience with. I also bring a lot of creativity and humor. I have a background in expressive arts, sand play, dream work, visualization, hypnosis, and so I bring a lot of alternative medicine types of plans into play. And I really think that I'm about helping people break down and identify their personal barriers and helping them overcome them. I know how to problem solve very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I was going to, you know, refer a client to you or whatever, what kind of person would that be?
I think it would be a woman who's in a similar situation, building a career, building a business, may have children, other commitments, might struggle with, you know, perfectionism, difficulty getting through problems because they get stuck, who wants to incorporate a life of balance between their spirituality, their social, their physical, their personal and emotional, and wants to kind of keep pushing themselves and challenging themselves, but not, you know, pushing the brink of burnout.
Okay. So, you know, the theme for the show this year is mindset. And maybe you didn't have any challenges along the way, I don't know. But many people do as they're starting a business. And, you know, especially as an entrepreneur, because you don't have a big corporation behind you or a company or whatever. So are there things that you could share with our listeners that maybe you've learned along your journey as an entrepreneur to help, you know, other people a little bit on the way, you know, some lessons you learned, some things you say, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I want to avoid this again. You know, are there some things that you can share?
Sure. One, I personally like to be very prepared. So I say do your mm-hmm. research. Make mm-hmm. sure that the area that you're going into is something that you love, you're passionate about, because that's the one thing that's going to help you get up every morning and recommit to it when you come up against struggles. You know, there are days that I get up and I think, oh, I'm never going to be able to get all these pieces together. But I remind myself that I just have to break it down into small increments, mm-hmm. and I only have to do a little at a time, and that's progress forward. And, you know, adapting that I'm not going to give up attitude is a daily ritual. It's not something that I just come to the field with. It's actually something that I work at. I get up, I talk to myself, you know, I challenge the negative thoughts that come up. I remind myself of times when I've been successful because those really help keep me moving forward. And I also keep my vision in front of me in terms of where I'm going so that I don't get lost, because it's really mm-hmm. easy to get lost with all the different voices out there and to throw money at a lot of things that aren't helpful. So find a person who can give you good mentorship and help you develop yourself fully. And, you know, I've been in and out of therapy and with coaching most of my life because that's what you do as a good therapist, is you work on yourself. So I would say that self-work should be number one, because until you're functioning well, your business will never be congruent.
Mm. Oh, that's great advice. I mean, doing your research, chunking it down, being persistent. You know, talking about, you know, chunking it down, and I don't think people, we take all these little baby steps. It takes a lot of baby steps to get to a bigger end result. But we don't, I think, many people don't celebrate those baby steps enough. Do you find that in your practice, that people don't give themselves enough kudos or pats on the back for the little things along the way?
Oh, definitely. In fact, people just tend to minimize things right down, and they're like, well, I did this and I did this, but, you know, I still am not at this big
goal. Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, you did a good job. You got this in place and this in place. You know, can you take a minute to notice that you're moving forward? And it becomes really important to, just like if you were going to lose weight or something, to have a reinforcer so that you have something to look forward to. Plus, it helps break you out. You know, I often suggest that when people are stuck, it's like, when's the last time you played? Go do something fun, because right. that will help you break out of that place of stuckness as well, you know, and negativity. You got to get around other people. You've got to enjoy yourself so that you can come back to the business of working and feel full, you know.
Right. Well, especially for entrepreneurs who work at home, sometimes you just got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, today, right now it's snowing in Wisconsin in April, so I'm probably not going to go outside too much. But it's, you know, it's just changing your environment, changing that venue. I think that's a really good point, Tabitha.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So has there been like a particular resource or a book or something that's really been helpful for you? I know you mentioned mentoring and coaching and all that, but has there been something that like people could go buy off the shelf kind of thing that's been helpful for you?
Sure. You know, I think Kristen Neff's book, she wrote a book on self-compassion. I think that it breaks down some self-compassion exercises that you can do. And really get you into that space of being able to join yourself, show up for yourself like you'd want somebody to show up for you, so that you don't have to be battering yourself over and over again with negativity and what you should have done and woulda, coulda. That's what I always say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you look her up on YouTube, if you read her book, she's definitely in line with where I go in terms of what I teach.
Okay, great. You know, I think people should on themselves too much, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do hear that a lot. I should do this, I should do this, I should do this, I should do this. And, you know, in that list of shoulds, very seldom are they in there. You know, their self-care, their self, you know, work, as you call it.
Right. Yeah, people put themselves at the bottom of their priority list.
Mm-hmm.
And what I usually say is we have to move that up. It has to at least be, you know, you have to be at least one or two. I can see number
right,
one
right.
maybe being your kids, but you have to be number two because,
right.
you know, if you keep coming to your work empty, then eventually you're going to run out of ideas, your energy, motivation, drive, all of that.
Right. You know, if I'm teaching a class or something, something I often do is the list of priorities. I have people take out a piece of paper or even just think about these things in their mind and say, what are your top 5 or 10, depending on how much time it is, priorities? And then list them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I have them go through that process, and I don't say anything else until everybody's got something, either written down or in their mind. And then I say, okay, now where are you on the list? And so often, they're not even on the list.
No.
Certainly not at one or number two. And I totally agree with you, Tabitha. That's where we need to be, or we're not going to be there for all the things we want to do and all the people we want to help.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my joke is that I kept trying to push and push, and God said, no, you're slowing down. And I said, no, I'm
That's
not.
Right.
And he said, yes, you are. So, boom.
Yep.
We can self-implode or, you know, whatever you believe, whether it's the universe or something else. I think that it has a way of slowing us down if we don't take care and notice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. For me, it was, you know, I wasn't listening, apparently, and I got hit upside the head, literally,
yeah.
with my car accident, you know, literally in a coma. So, yes, totally agree. And people who you know, have, especially if they have a job or a situation, a family, whatever, that's very, you know, it takes a lot of energy from them, they do burn out. And so it's to get to that to a place where you're taking care of yourself before you get to the burnout, right?
Right, exactly. And that, you know, is hard to do because we don't want to attend anything if it's not on fire. And this is why, and this is why I say we have to have a plan, because we don't want too many fires. You know, we can handle one or two, but when we catch on fire, that's bad. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tabitha, I know people are going to want to know more about you, want to know more about your services and the stuff that you have. I'll put your website and obviously your free gift will go on the gift page. But would you share with our listeners, you know, how they can reach you and all of that?
Sure. I would love to hear from everybody. I'm at gratefulgrowth.com, and I'm also on Facebook at Grateful Growth Coaching and Consulting. So I hope you'll come find me.
And I'm assuming that there's like a contact us thing on your website that they can actually send you a message. And
certainly.
Then, okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
Tabitha at gratefulgrowth.com.
Okay, super. Yeah. Great. Well, you know, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I know you got a bunch of things going on, and I really appreciate the time that you've taken to share some of your wisdom with everyone. You know, if people could only, the people who are listening, if they could only fit one more thing in their brain today, only one little piece would fit. There was room for nothing else. What one little thing, what golden nugget do you want to leave with them today to make sure that people take that away?
Slow down. Slow down in your thoughts. Slow down in physically. And take stock of what it is that you really need and want.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, we talked about a ton of things today, lots of stuff. But, yeah, if you don't slow down and take stock into what's really important to you and who you are and how you're taking care of yourself, nothing else works.
Nope. Puzzle pieces don't fit.
That's right. That's right. Well, again, Tabitha, I want to thank you for your time today. I am so appreciative that you were able to take time out of your busy day to share with all of us. And
well, thank you for joining us on The Holistic Entrepreneur today. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. I wanted to share a special gift that I have with you. I want to offer a free invitation for you to join my summit, which started this week, Entrepreneur Mastery. I'm going to put the link in the show page so that you can find it, and you can register to listen to all the free interviews. I have amazing guests on there, and each of them has generously donated a wonderful gift exclusively for the summit. And of course, there's a VIP package if you want to, you know, have lifetime access to everything. But all of the recordings will be live for 48 hours from the time that they've aired, and it's just there for you to help you on your entrepreneur journey. So until next time, blessings, everyone.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.